welcome back to Blog Talk Radio Live here on Coaching with Carrie. And today I'm going to be interviewing another top agent who's going to be calling in here in just a couple of minutes. I promised you that every other week I'm going to be bringing a top agent here in the state of Minnesota to talk to you about some different things in regards to their success and their business. And so Steve Jones with Search Houses Now team is going to be connecting with us here in just a moment. And we're going to talk to him a little bit about what he believes, is attributing to his success, his growth, and the success of his real estate team. And everybody has a little bit of different spin, obviously, on what is, how they are as successful as they are, and why they're as successful as they are. And all of this hopefully is going to help you understand some of the things that you can do, to be successful as well, because some of these things are going to speak to you a little bit different than others, of course. So we're going to be talking to Steve, obviously, as he calls in here just in a moment. It looks like he might be there. Steve, are you there? Can you hear me, Steve?
Yep, hello. Can you hear me?
Awesome. Welcome. Sorry, we had a few technical difficulties. As we're trying to get people to call in, sometimes it's a little finicky, so I apologize to all of you in advance. I just got done talking a little bit about you. I don't know if you could hear it, Steve, to those that are listening in. So we'll just jump right into some of the questions that I want to ask you. But first of all, tell me a little bit about yourself, how long you've been in real estate, a little bit about what your business looks like, if you don't mind, just so that the callers can understand who they're hearing from today.
Great. Well, thanks for having me today, Carrie.
Absolutely.
A little bit about myself. My name is Steve Jones. I run the Search Houses Now team here in Minnesota, and first and foremost, a family man. I've got kids. That's the impetus of why I do a lot of things, and it brings me a lot of joy. What does my business look like today? My business has evolved a lot in the last 2 years, and it's went from being an individual agent where I was focused on more of a day-to-day transactional basis, to where we have a team of buyers, agents, listing agents, and expansion team. We have a hub where it's more leadership of assisting through growth and challenges and the highs and lows of, that a lot of the real estate agents experience in our industry. But that's a lot of what today looks like, where we're having team meetings and individual coaching with our team members and finding solutions for our clients. That's what today looks like.
Awesome. And so going back a little bit, a couple of years ago, why was it that you decided to start a real estate team? What led you to kind of want to go down that path? And obviously even further, what has led you to want to expand into different markets? And you can maybe just a little bit allude to what you're doing there if you want to for the listeners. And then I'd love to hear kind of what you believe, because I know there's a lot of people listening who have thought about starting a real estate team. You know, they're kind of on the brink of needing to make a decision if they do or don't do that based on where their business is. So I'm curious to know what you believe for you has been the most rewarding or is the most rewarding part of leading a team. And obviously there's going to be some challenges with that too. So what maybe is one of those challenges that you maybe weren't expecting, or you were and you've learned to kind of overcome it? I know it's a long question, but just a little bit about why you decided to start the team, and then one rewarding part and one challenging part about that would be great.
Really, it came to, and it's evolved over the last couple of years. For me, it's creating win-win opportunities. There's a win opportunity for myself, and there's a high amount of reward of helping other people succeed as well. And the other win opportunity is for agents who are either new to the business and getting in and looking to grow to wherever their journey takes them, whether it be, lifelong a partnership with the Search Houses Now team, or we use this as a building block for them to, spawn their own creative ideas and wherever that takes them. But really, when I first started why start a team, it had to do a lot with I had an abundant amount of opportunity. There was lots of clients. There was listings. There was all these different real estate activities, and I wasn't able to address all of them. So literally leaving me down the bone, if you will. So it was a time where I started to explore adding other buyer's agents. And when I added those buyer's agents, we created opportunity for them. And then we started to coach them and take them to new levels. And that's really why we started the team. And it's been a growing process. And it's been a process where I've had to kind of go back to the fundamentals and become a student of real estate and a student of, you know, what these teams are doing to be successful. And that's why I think we've had a really, I think, advanced course or schedule as far as, one, how quickly we've grown, how quickly we've been able to add personnel. And a lot of it has to do with their own successes and their own dedication to work and doing the individual one things that they're supposed to be doing with their time. But that's really why we started this. As far as challenges, you know, we live every single day in our team of discovery. I'm sure if you were to ask anybody on our team, you know, they'd be complimentary of the opportunities. But at the same time, they'd say that, you know, we've lived through this and we go through these phases where, all right, we've hit a new ceiling and we have to refine our systems and we kind of retool a little bit. And, you know, initially when you first start growing, I like to call them like 3 to 4 month segments. So literally every quarter, you're kind of taking a look at your business, a snapshot of our, how did we do and how did our system, how did our clients get serviced? And then we kind of retool and then start again. And each time that we've done that, we've been able to increase the level of productivity, whether it be how we're servicing our clients, the number of units or the gross number of sales. But at the same time, we've always been able to take on the challenge as far as looking at the daily discovery, even though sometimes it's a challenge and it's frustrating and we're having to create things. That's the it's also the neat part of the opportunity is we get to create this and, you know, take the business where we want to go.
Absolutely. And so I think if there's real estate professionals listening in and they're on the brink of making a decision that, okay, I need to start a team, and I think many people start thinking about it just like you did, which is you basically get to a point where you just can't provide the service to your clients the same way anymore because there's too much business. And so you need to decide whether you're okay taking it back a little bit and then not growing from there, or if you've reached that ceiling of achievement and you do want to continue to grow, then there's going to have to be probably some addition of team members to some degree, right? And that can vary from person to person. But what I'm hearing you say is obviously, and I've seen this, and I think I see it a lot in you as well, is that you have to be ready for leadership if you start a real estate team. It's not just, you know, bringing some people on your team, throwing them some business. It really has to be a cohesive team. They have to be ready to contribute and go through some of the growing pains that exist. And you have to be ready as a leader, not just a real estate sales professional. You know, you have to be more of an entrepreneur mindset and a leadership mindset in that you need to be ready to help these people grow and to create really a team atmosphere that's beneficial for the client and that can sustain growth. And that, there's a lot to that. So I think that if anybody's on the brink, they just need to be ready for you know, ready for those challenges and ready for that step up in leadership. And most importantly, I think coming from a place of where you really do want to succeed through other people. Because if you don't have that mindset, I'm not sure if, you know, you're coming from the best intentions and maybe those people on your team can feel that way. So I have heard you say that, you know, you think the most successful people find joy in the hard work. And so I've heard you say that before, so I'm wondering if you would elaborate a little bit on that for us, because I love that saying, and I'd like to kind of know what it means to you, or, you know, when you say it, what is that meaning?
Well, what it means, and the people that I've modeled and followed or been mentored by, they're hard workers, and they find the joy in the hard work. I know when I go to work each and every week, it's not a matter of if I like going or if I'm showing up or not. I enjoy what I do, and a lot of the people that are on our team, and I would like to say that all of the people on our team enjoy what they do, but the hard work is when you're making that, trying to get your 50th contact for the week, and you have to make how many phone calls to get there, but it's when you do get that personal contact and you're able to get to the point of the conversation where it's the improvision, and it's all those dials, all those touches, and you met your goal. That's the reward. That's the excitement. And the people who are most successful, and it doesn't matter the industry, it's transparent through all different genres of work. The people who like to get dirty, the people that like to get deep into it, the ones that lead by example, they're the ones that find the most joy in that. And we like to carry that through to our team because, there are times where on a Friday night and, you know, you haven't hit your contacts yet, and you know that you have a goal that you're trying to strive for, whatever your goal is that year, that you want to hit that contact. So you make that extra call, and you're here until 8 o'clock at night sometimes. Now, we try to schedule our time blocking so that way we have a life balance, but at the same time, there are some times where you don't, and you have to get it done. But that's the joy of it, and that's the joy of finding the successes in the small battles as they lead up to higher successes and rewards.
That's right. And so, you know, what you do today kind of gets you to the point where you are tomorrow, and then you probably don't have to do those things anymore, too. I've heard, you know, so many people say, you know, live today like others don't, so that you can live tomorrow like others can't. You know, it's kind of the same idea. So as you and I have, you know, worked together and we've coached together a little bit, I know that, and I've found that attitude is very important to you. I know you also possess a very positive attitude, and have a similar belief to me in that, you know, attitude can, definitely, overrule, you know, talent and many other things. Attitude is so important. Mindset is so important. So as you're growing your business yourself and as you're leading your team, I'd love to hear your thoughts, because I think everybody listening in can learn from this, your thoughts surrounding the importance of attitude and how it really can impact, you know, someone's life and their success. And I don't know if you have any specific examples or if you just want to talk more generally about that, but I'd love for those listening in to hear a little bit about your belief in that, because I think it's a strong message for everybody.
Well, when it comes to attitude, it's the one thing you truly own. You know, there's possessions, there's material items. Those all can come and go, and they will throughout your life. But how you control your attitude, it's the sum total of all your thoughts. So if you control your attitude, the rest of everything else that you do becomes easier. So basically, I'm a can-do person. I'm a glass half full, and I'm a solution-based person. So I continually want to find the outcome that is desirable for the parties that we're finding win-win opportunities for. And having the right attitude every single day when you step through the door, every single day when you wake up and come out of bed, it goes on different levels. It's, you know, being a good father, being a good husband. It's being a leader for your team. It's being a good salesperson. It's being a good friend. All these different things. If you have the right attitude, one, it's contagious, and it brings up the team, and it also brings up the camaraderie of that team, and people want to follow that. People want to be around people who have positive attitudes. They want to be around infectious people. Remember, it doesn't matter if you're talking to your clients, if you're talking to your team, or if you're talking to friends. Most people want to be around infectious people, and infectious people have a great attitude, and they're controlling their thoughts and how they direct their lives. And that's how I see attitude. So I try to have that belief system where I'm going to have that it factor, and because we're able to do that, it draws people in. But that's how I see attitude. Hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just a lot of people in general don't necessarily pay a lot of attention to their attitude and kind of how they're portraying themselves to others and how that can absolutely equate to success in so many different ways. And it can kind of spiral to into other things, which probably brings me into my next question, which is you've also mentioned to me, and I know you've mentioned to you know, you talk about this with your team and others here, but you've mentioned two other important factors, confidence and belief in not only yourself, but as well as your service or the product, whatever it is that you are providing to the consumer or to your client, right? So because there's two parts of that, right? Self-confidence and belief in yourself, but then there's also the confidence and belief in what you have to offer. And I think that those are two very different things, and both of those pieces to the puzzle have to be there in order for you to be the best that you can be. It first starts with your attitude, and then it will probably trickle down to these two things. So tell me a little bit about how you see that. And when you're growing a team, how do you get to the point where everybody on the team really does have that confidence and belief, first obviously in themselves, the team as a whole, because they're relying a lot on each other, right? And they're relying on what together you build that you provide to the client. And that's tricky, I think. So I don't know if you have any insight to that, but if you do, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, when it comes to belief and confidence, they kind of go hand in hand. First, when it comes to the belief, it's a belief in yourself, and it's also a belief in what you're selling. And it goes to a little bit more of a foundational route of education. So I find oftentimes when realtors first get into the business, they're so excited, they're so eager, they're going to go make all the calls, and then all of a sudden it doesn't happen, and then that confidence goes away. And One of the things that I always continue to tell my team is real estate activity generates real estate activity, and it also spurs the belief that their confidence level is going up. And the reason it does is because they're more knowledgeable. So we go out previewing. We as a team, every single week, we hop in my vehicle and we go preview houses. And what it does is, one, it gets you to know neighborhoods. It gets you to learn how to preview houses, how to portray a house, how to show a house. And what ends up happening is that you have more confidence as you walk through the threshold of every single door. One, you're going to know a floor plan. You're going to know maybe the mechanical systems. You're going to know all these different features of a house where you're able to speak confidently about what you're selling. And then you also have a greater belief in what you're selling because you know that it's right. You know that you can confidently say that this is going to be a great option for the needs and the measure of what your client or prospective client has given you, saying, I need this. I need a three-bedroom house. I need to be in a great area to, you know, with schools and all the things that we hear that clients give to us as far as their search criteria. But you're able to show up with, one, the right attitude. We're already studied because we've developed a foundation of confidence and a belief system that we believe in what we're selling. And those are the things that I think most realtors miss, is that foundation when they first get into the business. And, I'm even going to go back just a little bit. It's not even when you first get into business. Continually be learning based throughout, because it's going to, one, give you confidence. It's going to believe in yourself and what you're selling. And, again, it also attributes to the attitude of how you approach each situation. And that's really what it comes down to for me, is this foundational studies of how do you improve yourself.
That's right. That's awesome. So, and speaking of that, I know that you are kind of a lifelong student. Most leaders are. And if you aren't naturally, when you become a leader, and start hanging around other leaders, you start becoming more of a student again. So those listening in, if you're not one right now and you go, I don't know if I can be a leader, that's not true. I think the more you become in a position to be a leader and you start hanging around more leaders, the more you'll start to develop that way. And one of the books that I know you are a student of, Steve, and many people are, this book just recently was named, I think, a top seller again for the 19th time in a row or something like that. I'm sure everybody's heard of it. It's called The One Thing. And this is not a real estate book. This is more of a book of how to simplify your life in all the different areas, including business and personal, so that you can have extreme success. And most of us make it way more complicated than it is. In fact, we try to do too many things when we can really simplify into the one thing concept. So with that, I know you and your team do work on that concept, or you've read the book, you do talk about that. And, it helps all of you grow both personally and professionally and stay focused on what you need to focus on. One of the things the book talks about is discipline, and how it's kind of a myth because everybody feels they have to have such strong self-discipline to be successful that they immediately get basically derailed because they don't think it's possible. And what Gary Keller in that book has said is it's not possible for everybody to have just unbelievable amounts of self-discipline all the time. That's unrealistic because we're human beings. However, we just have to find the one thing that's important to us at the time and create enough discipline in ourselves to do it long enough to create a habit. And then once that habit's formed, it doesn't we don't have to be so disciplined anymore. It's not as difficult, and then we can move on to the next thing. And I know you've talked a lot about discipline and kind of creating those habits so that you guys can really continue to hit your goals and also simplify what you do every single day and just kind of simplify your lives. So tell me a little bit about how you and your team see discipline as it applies to your careers and your personal lives if you want, but for sure your careers. And how do you focus on your one thing? How do you guys identify it? Do you talk about it? And then how do you encourage them and yourself to stay focused on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a team, really the one thing is it's on a couple different levels. It can be professional, it can be personal, relationships, faith, physical. All of these things can come down to, you know, really one thing or a single decision process. But as it relates to a team, we started at 8:30 on Monday mornings, and really what we talk about is the one thing of for the team members, a lot of it is, well, how many contacts do they have? We know if they hit a certain number of contacts, and it has to come down to lead generation, and we talk about the success of lead generation. And what you talk about, especially when agents are first new to the business, how does your lead generation correlate to your calendar, and how are you focusing on that? Because remember, as you go through the book and the one thing, it talks about having a life balance and doing certain activities such that everything else becomes easier or unnecessary. And for our team, a lot of the successes have to come to the discipline of their lead generation. So we know that if they hit a certain number, and our team, it's 50 contacts a week. So if you hit your 50 contacts a week, we know that it's going to translate into your pending files, your closed files, your longevity of a pipeline, and reoccurring business. And that's what we do. But we started every Monday morning at 8:30. We have a team meeting. We talk about the successes. And we literally tell it, if we have the tell me something good, tell us the something good that happened. Because, again, it comes from the positive attitude, going back a little bit of what we were talking about earlier. But do the tell me something good, have your affirmations, get into the singular focus of what is important for that week. But really, when you talk about how simple the one thing is, it really comes down to a theory of a single decision. It's such that if you make one decision, all other decisions become easier. And I like to use the, you know, getting in shape or the health and fitness analogy for this. It's when, you know, you're questioning yourself if you're going to get up and you're going to work out because maybe you wanted to lose a little bit of weight or you wanted to increase your cardiovascular system. You know, the decision's already been made. You said that you wanted to be in this, you know, whatever your goal is. So it's not a decision if you're going to get up. It's a matter of you are going to get up, and now you're going to have a great attitude leading into that, such that your attitude will lead to higher successes down the road. So you're all of a sudden gaining your health goals. Now your health goals are bleeding into your work because you have a positive attitude and you've released some stress. You're eating correctly. All these little things, now your focus is so much greater while you're at work or while whatever activity you are in. Maybe it's faith. Your focus is so much greater on whatever faith day that is that you get more out of it and you're more productive in that time because of your singular focus and you're not distracted with all these other activities and allowing yourself to be, you're really zeroed in on what you're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they all do just start to really kind of blend together and affect each other, right, in a really positive way, which then makes it easier to, like you said, to just kind of focus. And once you start seeing the results, I think it's easier once people start seeing the results of that singular focus to be able to let go of some of the things that they used to feel was so important, right? It's hard at the beginning to let go of those things because we're so used to doing everything. But once we start seeing the results come and then we start seeing that, you know, bad things aren't happening because we're not doing all this other minutiae, it becomes easier for us to let go of those things. So we just have to believe in the concept, I think, and start doing it, and then it all falls together. But it's important to identify that one thing in each area of your life at a given time and to really have that written down just like you write down your goals and really as a team to encourage each other to focus on those things. And I think that's what's important. Again, that shows the leadership is that you need to bring these concepts to the team and help each other, you know, implement them and focus on them. Because if just you as a leader were focusing on this and it wasn't trickling down to your team, you wouldn't have the results or the success that you guys are having. So what do you believe has been the one thing that has made you one of the top real estate agents in the state of Minnesota? If you can look back on everything before you even knew about this concept, it might be before you even started your team, it might be after, it doesn't really matter when, but what do you think if you look back is probably the one thing either that you possess as a human being, that a decision that you made, you know, just one thing that has kind of gotten you to the place that you are today?
You know, it's really simple. Showing up is half the battle. There's so many times where the defeatist mentality will say, well, I can't do this, or I'm not going to have an opportunity, or the door won't open. Well, you won't know unless you go. So let's just show up first. And when you show up, and remember, realtors, we're unemployed unless we get up and we go to the office every single day or your home office, whatever that is. If we choose not to make any calls, there's nothing, there's going to be no reward later on. But showing up is half the battle. And that is applicable to whether, again, it goes back to your health or back to work or back to the team or the leadership, all those things. The other thing is, having that attitude that life is going to be good and you're going to succeed and you're going to find reward. I think really reflects on, one, how people see you and if they're going to choose to work with you. But two, it also gives that positive life cycle where it's healthy to be here. It's healthy to do things every single day, and you feel a sense of a sense of need, a sense of culture, a sense of family, a sense of the team-based successes and through the winning of others. And that's really the cool thing that KW has shown me is success through others and win-win opportunities has blossomed and spurred the team, really. And being a student and allowing, you know, some of the studies and the roadmaps that, you know, Gary Keller and so many people here as the KW family have laid out in, whether it be in Min Maria or Recruit Select and all these different programs, that if you can become studious and just implement and just accept them as is, as yes, as truth, if you can do that, then the rest will come to you. And that's really the big thing. All you got to do is show up.
Love it. Yeah, show up. And two things that you mentioned there that I think that people should have heard if they didn't, so I want to recap them, is show up, because if you're not there, obviously opportunity, you know, won't find you. And number two is that you have to believe that, you know, that you're going to have great things happen to you. I think that a lot of us, again, put a little bit of emphasis on mindset, and yet 98% of our success is the way we think about ourselves and our ability to be successful. So if you're not showing up and you don't believe you can be successful, then you probably won't, right? So that those are the two things I took away from that. And when I talk to top entrepreneurs or professionals that not even in the real estate industry, that is a common theme, is that they just know that they can make it. They know that they can be as successful as they want to be, and they have that deep down belief that that's just going to be the way it is. And that's what pushes them to show up, I think, right? Because they know that this can happen. So then they're showing up, and then the opportunities show up, and it kind of spirals from there. So my last question for you, as we're coming to the end of our time here, is, well, actually two last questions. So for anyone listening that is in the early part of their real estate career, I have a lot of people who are just thinking about getting into real estate, who have just started their real estate career, that listen into this coaching series. What is one piece of advice that you would give to those folks?
Yeah, it's something that I said earlier. Real estate activity generates real estate activity. As you're new to the business, remember, if you read Min Maria, there's leads, listings, leverage. The one thing that you have a lot that you can leverage is time. So there are activities in real estate that you can leverage. There'll be open houses. There are previews. There's agent tours. There's calling, getting your lead gen done. But it's the real estate activities will spawn opportunities, and those opportunities, when captured, are going to be able to move forward, and when you move forward, you're going to have successes in real estate. And that's the biggest thing that I tell the agents inside of our team is when they first start, because they're full of gumption and full of, you know, the bright eyes of opportunity, but the activity that you bring every single day and your structured activity, that's what's going to bring the opportunity down the road and for you to be a success in real estate.
That's awesome. That's great. And so the other half of my listening, you know, population, of course, are people who are experienced realtors. They are pretty far into their careers. And as I said earlier, they are thinking about potentially starting a team, or, you know, their business is building and it's getting larger. It's getting probably to be a little bit too much for them to handle. And they're on the cusp of, okay, you know, what do I do? Do I break through the ceiling of achievement and grow my business further, or do I stay where I am? And I guess, what advice would you give them, or what, you know, what is it should they be internalizing or thinking about to help them make that decision?
I think that being a student and being learning based for everything around you is really good. I know that a lot of people get stuck in the minutia of getting ready when they're ready. Part of it is you have to have the gumption to launch and take off and trust others and help others grow. And you have to slow down to speed up. And you, if anybody's listened to any of the KW talks through all the leaders in Keller Williams, you've heard that many times. But really what it's saying to me is you have to slow down, build your foundation. If you're staging the Ready to Grow a Team, you know, start going to some of the classes, whether it be Recruit Select, ATLM, all these leadership-based programs that are sitting there waiting for you to exercise your opportunity. And it's just that, have the right mindset that you're going to be learning-based. It's an opportunity for you to grow and have a win-win solution through other people and help them grow too. And that's really the big thing, is grow your foundation and be learning-based.
That's awesome. Yeah, you can't grow others and help others in their career if you're not willing to continue to grow yourself. That is a fact. And you've done an amazing job in the last 2 years going from a single agent to what does your team look like now? How many people are on your team?
So our team org chart today looks like this. You've got myself, and then there's Ashley Sells. She's the director of our hub, and she helps support. We have three buyer's agents. We have Angie, Devin, and Ben, and then we also have an agent that works redemptions and investment properties, Jay. We have a listing coordinator, Alex, and then we also have our first expansion agent, Karen Wiladke, down in the Naperville, Chicago area, and she's doing a phenomenal job working that territory for us as well. So that's what we look like today. What we look like tomorrow, the goal is to expand into an additional city sometime in the second quarter of this year. And then, you know, really my long-term goal is I want to be in anywhere from 8 to 12 cities in a five-year time, and we've got some pretty lofty goals of doing $500 million a year in real estate, and that's the direction we're curving towards right now.
And that is a far, you know, stretch, obviously, from where you were 2 years ago at, you know, yourself, obviously, doing the maximum amount of business that you can do. I mean, that you're literally looking at growing, you know, hundreds of thousands, you know, in production in a short period of time, right, in less than 5 years. And for people out there who just think these are, like, goals are just too big, how does anybody you know, why would anybody want to set a goal that big? You know, what would you say to them? Because there are people who have a hard time doubling, you know, in their mind going, okay, I did $10 million this year. Next year I'm going to do $20 million. They're doubling their goal, and they feel like that is just setting themselves up for failure because it's too big of a jump, and yet you're looking at, you know, a growth of 450, you know, 1,000 in sales volume in, you know, less than 5 years. So tell me a little bit about your mindset surrounding that as we end the show today. Because first,
you know,
of all, you've made huge strides, right? So it's more than possible. You're on that pace. But I think there's something mm-hmm. behind that, because there's a lot of people who won't even put that out there, you know, to the general public, much less, you know, put it on paper for themselves because they think it's just too unrealistic and they don't want to set themselves up for failure. So what would you say to that, or why, you know, why aren't you afraid to do that?
Well, if you can't speak about it, if you don't write it down, it for sure will not happen. So if you start to talk about it and you start to write it down and you start to build business formulas around that, then it's going to happen. And it will happen faster than you think. It's certainly, this experiment of a real estate team is growing a lot faster than I really anticipated, because really 18 months ago is when we first started hiring agents as buyer's agents. And we went from, you know, a modest start, then all of a sudden where I was doing my 8 to 10 million a year, killing myself, working as many hours as, you know, there was daylight, to now I've got a much more managed time, a much more balanced lifestyle with my kids. I do have three children, and I don't like to miss family activities, any of those events, to where we're, you know, we almost touched 30 million last year in our first full year as a team. And now we're projecting our goal is $100 million for the year. And here locally in just the Minneapolis market, we're on pace to hit $60 million. And all because we wrote it down, we started to build strategies around it, we started to build success strategies around the agents that are on our team and build in their personal goals. Because remember, that's what this is about. Remember, the win-win conversation builds in what their goals are. And I'm intimate with, you know, are they married? Do they have kids? What are their life goals? What do they want to do in 5 years? These are conversations that we have frequently, and we celebrate those successes in their life. I mean, it's been one of the most rewarding things is seeing folks on our team have success based on the models that we've built together. When we have a team member that just finished building a house. We've had team members fortunate enough to buy new vehicles this year. They've had, you know, trips. We've experienced children. These are all life, family experiences that we celebrate together. But it all comes from, we wrote it down, and whatever you write down can happen. And that's where I encourage you all to start, is write it down. And if you're just starting, okay, write it down. You want to have a figure in your mind, I want to do this. And I know that a lot of times when I do all the business planning, especially for newer agents, they say, well, how many contacts do you have to make? Start with this. Here's your rule, 50. Hit your 50 contacts every single week. No matter what happens, you'll be surprised at what happens after that. And you're going to have to start backfilling in with additional systems and processes because of your success and things that you're doing.
Awesome. Great advice from one of the top real estate agents in the state of Minnesota, Mr. Stephen Jones of Keller Williams Classic Realty Northwest in Maple Grove. Not only has Steve in the last 2 years built this amazing team and has grown his business tremendously and into even a different marketplace in less than 2 years, he is a leader in the office and continues to, you know, help others even that are not on his team. And what I've seen in you, Steve, as I end here is tremendous change just in, you know, your personal growth, your leadership, and I have absolutely seen you be able to spend more time with your family, have a little bit more of a balanced life, and you're selling more real estate. You're really building a business that's worth, you know, owning and a career worth having, and that, I think, is the main difference between, you know, being that individual agent, killing themselves for 12, 15, 10, whatever million it is, wherever their threshold is, and then making a decision to actually continue to grow it because you're offering opportunity to everybody on your team. You're giving yourself more life work balance. You're building something that's going to be sustainable into the future, that's going to fund your life for many years, not just while you're working in it. And of course, you're helping others on your team think bigger and achieve things as well. It's all about succeeding through others. And I think that's one thing that people don't understand. They're getting into in a positive way, right, when they start a team. And you've definitely emulated that. So thank you so much for being on my coaching series here with Coaching with Carrie on Blog Talk Radio. And thanks, everybody, for listening in. If you need anything, you know how to reach me. My Twitter handle is CarrieHKW. CarrieH@KW.com is my email. If you'd like a copy of any of the books I've talked about in my coaching sessions, please don't hesitate to let me know. You can find my page on Facebook as well, Coaching with Carrie. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. Thanks again, Steve.
Thank you.